I never told no one that. My whole life I've been holding back. Every time I load my gun up so I can shoot for the stars, I hear a voice.
All right, everybody, another day, another episode of my favorite podcast, The What If It Did Work. Can't believe it, we've already crossed 150, and I got the honor and the privilege of being this guy's first podcast, first of many, because, man, talk about an amazing story. We're going to be talking to Sal. Sal, seven-figure digital entrepreneur. He's an influencer, coach, Amazon FBA seller. To this date, Sal's made over $2 million in revenue selling on Amazon. Him and his partner, which is also his girlfriend, Jackie, founded the FBA Growth University, an e-learning platform for people all around the world to learn about starting their own Amazon FBA stores. They've successfully helped hundreds of people launch on Amazon, and their students today have even surpassed the records they once held selling on Amazon. Sal Habibi, welcome, brother.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show and for being my first host of many. I appreciate it. Thank you for the welcome.
Dude, real quick, Arabic, isn't Habibi like saying like sweetheart, right?
Yeah, yes, it is in that area of love, sweetheart, honey.
Hey, man, you were already blessed with a cool last name, man, because I looked at that and I'm like thinking, is that like your stage name? But that's your real last name, right?
Well, my real name is Suleiman Habib, but growing up since middle school, everyone called me Sal, and that became my name. My parents even called me that. So no one will ever call me my full name unless it's like a government official. So I started saying Sal, then I moved to Dubai for a few years, and the word there is Habibi, and my last name is Habib. So I guess I added on the I myself.
Hey, what? But it makes you more personable, man.
Yeah.
You always want people to remember your name, remember your story. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't easy, was it? I mean, most people want to be that overnight success. And my podcast is based on the struggle, based on the simple fact that people have to go through a grind. There's no microwave to success. I know you and Jackie didn't wake up one day living the life of being kings and queens.
No.
Jet setting Dubai, right?
Not at all. No. Yeah, it could have went completely the other way. I think there's always this moment when you realize that, hey, my life completely just changed. And we'll talk about that moment when we get into the podcast a little bit. But it was definitely a lot of struggle and 7 years actually of being in entrepreneurship until I finally felt that moment where I was like, oh shit, like my life completely changed. I'm free, right? You know, like they say, break free from the matrix. That it took 7 years until I got to that moment of I'm free. And it's not like that's it, game over. You still, the harder part, I don't know if people talk about it a lot, but it's not just getting there, it's staying there. Because after we got there, like a couple months later, it was like, oh shit, are we going to go back down to where we started again? So yeah, it took a while.
What happens, a lot of people go Hollywood. They hit their numbers, they hit their success. They believe success, once you hit it, you know, they don't realize you have to pay your dues. You wake up every day at zero. What happens to a lot of people is like they start spending. They start pretender spending. They buy. And then what happens is they have a bad day, a bad week, a bad month. But they lie to them, say, okay, yeah, don't worry. But they have everything to get out of it. But what happens is they panic. And then they have that, oh, shit. And yeah, Gone Hollywood happens to a lot of people, man. But yep. Congratulations. But were your parents entrepreneurs? Is that why you had the entrepreneurial spirit? Or where did that start?
Yeah, so my parents are from Afghanistan, and they moved here when they were like 16, 17. It was a bad age time for them to come here because they were a little too old to start public school in America, and they were not, you know, educated enough to go to college. So they kind of got, you know, thrown in here and had to start working right away. They did go to adult school, but you can't really make much out of that from like the position they were in. So my dad basically started working. And he was in his own way an entrepreneur. What he did is what Gary Vee always talks about. I didn't realize it until watching Gary Vee for a while, but growing up, basically my entire childhood, my dad would go to garage sales with me, buy people's merchandise from their garages, fill it up in a van, wait till the weekend and go to the swap meets, and we would sell those things. And I thought it was like a hobby, but that was my dad's business. And until I got to like age 10, 11, that's when I really realized it. I remember somebody in school asking who my dad does. And I said, oh, he works at the swap meet. And they're like, what do you mean? And I didn't even know what it was. I was like, yeah, he works there. And they're like, so he cleans the swap meet or something. Then I 10, 11 years old, I didn't know what I was talking about. Then I realized, no, he owns his own business. He goes and buys things from people and then he sells them at local swap meets. And that's actually what I started doing with him to help him out. So my entire childhood, that's what we did. Back then, we didn't have like iPhones with Google Maps. So I remember I would have to print out like the MapQuest directions. I don't know if you remember. He didn't know how to use
it. Dude, I'm older than you. Of course I know what MapQuest is.
Yeah, it's like now that we have all this technology, like people forget that even existed, but he didn't know how to use the computer. So I had to go type in the garage sale addresses, print out the addresses, and I would have like a stack of addresses. And every day we would drive to these garage sales, stack up the van, and then on the weekend, go flip them and make money. And he has four kids. So there's six of us in the family. My mom doesn't work. From, you know, Afghan culture, usually the woman don't work. She's a stay-at-home mom. So my dad, with that one single thing that he was doing, the garage sales, that paid for our entire life for four kids and him and my mom growing up until I was 18.
You know what? That's an amazing story, because most people, when they think of garage sales, what they think of is, you know, they're going to find the lost written constitution, like the first draft, the second draft. Because, you know, you hear that story, never really happens. That, or that they're going to go and they're going to find the Babe Ruth baseball card or the Mickey Mantle card, rookie signed that nobody else has seen. But, dude, your dad expanded his vision. Because, yeah, Gary Vee speaks about that. But you know what? Most people don't do that. Most people are super lazy, man. Most people, you know, one, it's their ego. Because, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're social media, hashtag winning, going out to looking through people's stuff. Man, I want to pretend I'm living the Armani, the Prada, the Louis.
Yeah.
But the hustle there is real, because your father was his own boss. Your father put you guys first. Your father, and, you know, people will be like, well, you know, that's because they're immigrants. Man, everybody knows the bougie, the American lifestyle, you know. At first, he just wanted to provide. But two, the simple fact that, you know, coming as an immigrant, English wasn't their first language. They didn't go to college. They didn't spend the $40,000 a year to learn about African-American studies or, you know, ancient Latin American studies or all the other amazing degrees. And he's like, hey, you know what? This, to me, this is complete alpha male. He's like, in my culture, because, you know, you hear it all the time here, man. Hey, if that's my wife, we both be working. So we can go to the SDK steakhouse. But your dad hustled and did that. And man, that's
still tough. Till today, he won't stop. Now I actually try to, just for fun, send him money here and there because he sees how much money I make. And when I first started making a good amount of money, I would send him $5,000 a week just for the fuck of it, to see what he would say about it. And he would just say, like, why are you sending me money? And I'll be like, well, I made this amount of money this month. It's not that significant to me. And he thought it was funny that I was doing it and it was like a joke, but I kept doing it. And then he told me, stop sending me money. I don't want to retire. Like, this is what I do. I go to work 2 days a week. I go to the swap meet. Like, that's my job. And I'm not going to quit just because you make money now. So till today, he does the same thing. Even though I could retire him, he will not actually retire.
But he's also old school. A lot of people have this belief that once you retire, you have no life left. And there's plenty of stories that once somebody retires, they're dead. They're gone. Yeah. So maybe that's why Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger keep on working. They'll be working until they're 200. And
so, yeah, that's
the 90s. Your dad gets satisfaction too. He loves doing what he, because Your brothers and sisters are all.
Yeah. Everyone's grown. Everyone's working. So he's just doing it for, you know, it's just what he does. And it feels good for him to go hustle and make money. And that escalated to bigger things. Like, we started with the swap meets, and my entrepreneurship journey started with me figuring out, how can we make more money now as a family? If this is how my family makes money, going to these garage sales, it was just getting by, and I was tired of getting by. So I had to start thinking of ways. So we found ways to buy merchandise online and sell them on eBay. So that was the first step of my entrepreneurship, is I found websites where we could buy wholesale merchandise. And this is before Amazon was a thing. No one even sold on Amazon before. This was like 15 years ago, when, you know, only actual companies sold on Amazon, not people like us. So we started flipping things on eBay, and that's what really kind of took us from like low income to middle income family. And that was around when I was in high school. So I helped him out with that. We got into buying wholesale merchandise, getting, you know, bigger storages to store merchandise, and kind of took his business to the next level. And that's what he does till today. But that started off me thinking about, you know, this is another option versus me going and getting a degree. And it always was in the back of my mind. Like, my dad did it for six people. And, you know, the funny thing was, during high school, I was actually, I would say, in a low to middle low income family, and I had every single thing I wanted. I was the first kid in high school that got a car, and I got a BMW M3 when I was a sophomore. And everybody thought my parents are these, you know, wealthy people from this big country. And the thing was, my dad just used everything he had. He did not care. He would not give me, you know, he wouldn't say no to me. Whatever I wanted, he would get. And people, you know, told him, like, you're going to spoil this kid. He's going to end up being bad. But it motivated me more. So he bought me the first car. When I was 18, my parents combined their money and bought me the Camaro right when it came out. So, you know, they did these things, and people thought we were wealthy, but we weren't that wealthy. They just used what they had. My mom sold her gold to get me that car. And like I said, people think that that's going to make you this spoiled brat and all these things, but it just motivated me to want to also become successful and give back to them and do those things. And that's really what started it all off for me, is seeing them work so hard and, you know, never think that they can't do something.
But yet you still went to college.
Yeah. Why? I went to college.
Was that your parents' dream, or was that
something? No, it was my mom's dream. I went to college for the single sole reason that my mom wanted all her kids to go to college, get a degree, because when they came here, that was the American dream, is go to college or send your kids to college, get them a degree. And it's the dumbest shit to me that the biggest goal for most people in America when they're young is, if I get that degree, I am a success. And it's like, everyone's posting them with their degrees next to their college, you know, college banner. And it's like, what now? You got a paper, what now? And for me, that's the last thing I wanted. And my sisters did it. And they went to good schools. They worked at NASA. They worked at Google. They work at even bigger companies now. So, you know, they make six-figure incomes. They did the whole route of go to college. They went to private colleges. My parents were so proud of them. And they're happy. They're living their life making six figures. But every year that I went to college, I would tell my mom, I want to drop out. And she would say, you're going to break my heart. I'm going to cry every day. Do not drop out. So I kept going. I kept going. And so my sixth year of college, I'm not kidding, sixth year, I went to 4 years of community and 2 years at an actual university. And that's when we had like a presentation for an entrepreneurship class. And I made a whole business out of scratch just for fun. And I presented it. And the professor actually told me that would actually do well if you pursued it. And that's what actually triggered me to drop out. I was like, you know what? That is what I want to do, is start a business. And getting this degree, that's in no way or shape going to help me start a business. It's going to help me work for a business. And that's when I dropped out. That professor actually told me, go do that in real life. So I did.
You know, that's a great professor, because most professors, all the ones I ever had, and most people, douches, you know, with their doctoral degrees, talking down to people, you know, and the higher the academia you go, because, like, you know, my family brainwashed myself, academia brainwashed. I have a master's degree in journalism. What is that equal to?
Oh, exactly. That's the thing. And I, like I said, I always say to everybody, I don't want to seem like I talk down on college. It's just that even till today, they don't really explain to you of to think of what's going to happen after you get that piece of paper. It's just like the big goal is to get the paper, but no one thinks about it. And when I was there, I would ask my friends too, while they were there, like, do you even think about what you're going to do after? Like, what's the income you're going to have? Have you looked at jobs and what they pay? And I think that's also what helped me drop out is during my last few years, I would spend weeks and weeks researching the potential jobs I could get and seeing how much money they make. And then I would figure out, if I made that much money, could I live the life that I want? And no job ever amounted to the lifestyle that I wanted. I wanted, you know, the cars and traveling and having my own freedom to go where I want. And these jobs wouldn't pay enough. So I changed majors a couple times to try to find something that pays more. Still wouldn't pay what I expected my lifestyle to, you know, cost me. So that's also what led me to drop out. And people don't do that. They just want to get that paper.
But when you dropped out, did you start your own business? But because from what I read, you started working for other people that got you fired, right?
Yeah. So yeah, well, it was, this is also when some bad things started to happen during my college years. So this was the start of I could sum it up, but this was the start of a really, really bad time when I started getting into drugs. So when I dropped out, right away, I realized, well, I'm going to need money to make my car payments. I'm going to need to do something so my parents don't think I'm a stupid failure and I just sit at home all day. So I had to figure out something to do. So I was working at basic jobs, like working at GNC as the cashier, working at restaurants as a host, you know, just making minimum wage. And I did get fired actually from every single job I had throughout college. And looking back, I think the reason was that I always wanted to think outside of the box and do things my own way. Like, I guess I just had that, like, that vision of thinking, how can I improve things? How can I do things easier? And the bosses didn't like that at any job. Like, they did not like me doing things my way. They all fired me. I got fired from 5 jobs total. So up till this point, 5 jobs fired me. I drop out of college and now I'm completely fired from every job. I have no college. I have nothing going on. And my friend introduced me to his little business, which was selling drugs. And I never thought I would take that route. I was never somebody who did things like that. I wasn't a bad boy growing up. I didn't get in trouble, none of those things. But he showed me how easy it was. He would, you know, he had a couple of different phones and he would go make money selling drugs. And I kind of got close to him and he told me, hey, I'll put you on. I'll give you a couple bags. Don't pay me anything. You go take care of it. I'll even send you where to go drop them off. You just drive and you'll make money. And that's what started off that bad route for me, because it was way more money than a minimum wage job could pay me. And that led to, you know, bigger amounts until the point where I had my own apartment and one bedroom was like a little trap. And that's what I was doing for a good 6 months.
Hey, dude, no judgment for me, man. An entrepreneur, there's whatever you're selling, there's always somebody buying. And, you know, that's still the entrepreneurial spirit deep down inside. So what was that aha moment that you're like, you know what, this isn't the path? You know, I'm doing drugs, I'm selling drugs. There must have been something that you that come to moment that you're like, hey, you know what?
Yeah, you know what? That aha moment for me, what really hit me hard, made me break down crying in my car, is during those 6 months that I would say I was not only using but selling, in my environment, my entire environment was just that. It was people that also did that. It was other guys who were doing what I'm doing, and girls who would also just use and be around. And this environment was so toxic. But during those 6 months, I realized I'm pushing away all the actual friends that I had that don't do those things because they wouldn't want to come around. They don't want to be involved with that. And I really wouldn't leave, because when you have your own business like that, it's like 7 days a week you're working. So my life was occupied with that. And all my actual friends, my real friends, athletes, they all started to distance from me. And I even got into some bad, you know, some bad taste with a few friends that just were upset with what I was doing. And when they tried to talk me out of it, I would, you know, go off on them and, you know, tell them stay out of it. And started losing relationships. So that was one of the things. And the other thing was being afraid to go to my parents' house. Every time I would go to my parents' house, they would know. And it was crazy because I would try to find a way to just use a little bit. And when I say I was using it, like it was every day. Like I would wake up and do a line. It was like my coffee. And I would try to go to my parents' house with the minimal amount of drugs in my system so they don't know. And every time they would know. And my mom would go in her room and start crying. And I would feel embarrassed and I would leave. And it got to a point where one day they invited me to a family party. And I was on the phone and I just realized there's no effing way. Like, I can't go to this family party with the state that I'm in. Everyone's going to know I did something. My eyes are bulging out. Like, I can't go. And I sat in my car and I started crying. And I realized I just fucked my entire life up. Not only did I drop out and made my mom super upset that I'm not going to college anymore, I also got fired from every job. I also pushed away all my real friends. Now, who am I? I'm a guy who does drugs, sells drugs, and I'm around people who do that, and nothing else is in my life. I had nothing else going on. And that day, and maybe it's just me that was able to do this, but I cold turkey quit. That day I said, I completely quit. I'm not going to take any other drugs at all. And I'm also going to get rid of everything that I'm doing. And it wasn't, you know, gradual. That literally that day I quit because I was too embarrassed to see my mom, and I love my mom. So I felt I have to change, and I completely quit that day.
Did mom and your family know that you were selling it as well, or that you were just using?
No, they knew everything because it started when I was still living with them. So it started when I was living with them, and my dad caught me a few times. He would come into my room and he would see stuff, and he caught me a few times. And that's what made me leave and get my own apartment. And then when I was in my own apartment is when it escalated and grew into a big business where I had several guys working for me. We had 3-4 different phones going around. And that's when it really got to the point where complete toxic environment. And yeah, I would only visit their house, but they would know every time.
And I'm sure that they're just crushed. Both that you were selling. Well, you know, your father was a, you know, hustler 24/7 doing it the legit way. And, you know, it wasn't about results. I could care less if you're making 100 times, 10xing it more than you know, if he was doing an honest living while, you know.
Yeah.
And he would, like, hey, guess what Sal's doing?
Yeah, exactly. It's a pride thing for them, too. And especially, you know, cultures like mine, it's the parents are super prideful. Like, they love to just meet and talk about their kids. And he could talk about my sister. She went to NASA. She went to Google. She got her degree from a private school. What about your son? Oh, he dropped out and he sells drugs and he uses drugs every day and he was doing nothing with his life. That was basically me. I'm sure he didn't say that, but that's who I was. So that was one of the biggest factors, I would say, that I felt nothing's going to change. It's just going to get worse and worse. And I can make a lot of money doing this, but what's the good of the money if it's just I have the money and I have no friends, no real friends. I lose my family. Personally, I'm the unhealthiest I've ever been. And I can't even wake up without doing something. And yeah, that all added up to be saying I completely quit.
Quit cold turkey. So then what next? Was that when you decided, hey, let me start selling on the internet? Or what was the next step in the Sal story?
So when that happened, the people that were around me were pretty upset that I was going to quit because they were basically, their income was based off of what I was doing. I was the owner of the business and I told them I'm going to quit, and people got a little upset. And I decided I'm going to stop using, but I'll gradually let go of the business so they could figure out their own thing. So I started to, you know, research how I can make money online. I started to get into personal development. And that's the first time in my life I actually ever heard of personal development. And I started watching YouTube videos like Bob Proctor and Jim Rohn and, you know, all the personal development guys. So I started listening to that stuff and thinking, this is how I'm going to change my life. I'm going to start educating myself and reading books on business and listening to these mentors online, and eventually I'll figure out a way. So I started doing these things and the people around me completely changed up on me. I mean, like, laughed in my face. Like, I was reading on my couch in my apartment, and one of my good friends from back then, who we don't talk to anymore, literally came to my face and laughed at me and started filming me on his phone saying, I'm going to post this. You're a square. What are you doing? And I was like, what do you mean? I'm reading to educate myself. And he's like, you're not going to do anything with that. You're a drug dealer. Just why are you lying to yourself? So it was things like that for a couple of weeks until that led to the next breaking point of me saying, that's it. I'm literally going to get rid of everything and move back to my parents' house. So I did. My lease on the apartment ended. I cut off all those relationships that I had. I threw away all the phones, basically got rid of the entire life. And I know for people that might be struggling with things like that, or if you're using, you know, it's not that easy, I know. But for me, it's the vision I had of who I wanted to become. And that's what allowed me to quit so easily, because what's the point of hanging on longer and longer? It was never going to get me to who I wanted to become. So I just cut it all off. My lease ended and I told my parents the whole story and that I want to move back into their house. And that was the end of that chapter of my life. So it lasted about 8 months and then I moved back to my parents' house.
Yeah, it was probably one of their happiest days, knowing that you went cold turkey, that you gave up the nasty habit, and you know, you're selling poison. It wasn't like you were helping people, you know, coke or any of those things. You know, it only destroys dreams, because it demotivates it. You know, it might be a crutch. People, you know, it's for energy. No, it's not, man.
Yeah, no. And I've realized the worst days I've had in my life and the worst things that I've ever done have been when I've been the highest on drugs like that.
Of course.
Ecstasy and cocaine. And that's the worst days that I've had, and the worst things that I've done around people, the most embarrassing things that I've done, until the next day you don't realize it. So yeah, bro. So that was the end of that. And it didn't get better. It got more embarrassing once I moved back to my parents' house, because now think about it. I got fired from every job. I got dropped out of college. I quit the little business that I had. Now I had absolutely nothing. And I totaled my car before I moved back. So I also totaled my car and I had no insurance. So I was now in debt with that car that I totaled. I totaled that car. I had no insurance on it. I was in debt. I dropped out of college. All that shit happened. I'm back in my parents' house. And what am I going to do now? So that's exactly where I was 3.5 years ago, of what am I going to do now with my life?
You know what? Failure is all in the past. Somebody can fail 99 times, but as long as they get up, you know, failure never defines a person. That didn't define you. What happens is so many people are like, you know what? I'm a loser. I'm a failure. It's in my genetics. I was born on the wrong day. It's not my horoscope. Mercury retrograde. You know, we create all these bullshit excuses, but overall, man, you dusted yourself up. Yeah, it was the ego too, man. You're like, oh, this sucks. People are going to see me as a...
Oh, the ego was big.
Right?
I could not see myself doing anything different at all. And yeah, what made it harder was when I was in that moment of selling and all that, I was making a decent amount of money. So my lifestyle did, of course, especially when you do that kind of thing, my lifestyle did move up a little bit to where I was spending more money on nice things and, you know, going on semi-private jets here and there and, you know, living that kind of a life. And then from that to move back to my parents' house, and they had no room for me anymore. So I was living in their living room. So they basically put up like a bed sheet to make a wall. And I slept on a mattress in a living room. And that was my room when I was 25 years old of age. And that was my situation. Yeah.
You know what? God gives us rock bottom as an opportunity. People don't see it as that, but it's an opportunity. It's a gift, because when you're rock bottom, people will do whatever it takes to get out of that situation. So, and you did, man. I mean, I know you probably weren't manifesting anything but negativity at the time. You know, you had these hanger-oners that were only with you because of the drugs. The reason why they didn't believe in Jim Rohn, they didn't believe in personal development, business development, is, have you ever seen, like, even in movies or anywhere where drug dealers or people doing lines and all that, and they're like, hey, have you read Jim Collins' Good to Great?
No. And I actually did try when I first got into this personal development is I knew my life was going to change to the point where when I start talking about it, people are going to think that I'm fucking crazy for what I did. But when I first got into it, I wasn't, by the way, I also wasn't religious growing up at all. My mom is Muslim and, you know, practices the faith. Me, not so much. I was more just spiritual. And then during this time, when I was watching, you know, all these YouTube videos, I started to get a little bit into my spirituality and learning about it. And that's the first time I realized, hey, I can actually manifest like the future that I want. And I think it was Dr. Joe Dispenza, whose videos that I saw that completely blew my mind. And I was listening to his podcast of how people like me in this situation who were using drugs or, you know, they had cancer or like something crazy and it completely cured the cancer or they completely quit and turned into a successful person. And it was all from believing, having faith, changing their habits. So that actually did change my life. And it's funny today, if you look at, you know, Instagram, there's guys like Alex Hormozi who are insanely successful, one of the most successful entrepreneurs that most of us know. And he usually talks down on these things because you don't have to do them. You don't have to take cold showers. You don't have to go read business books over and over again. You don't have to watch these podcasts like the one that we're on right now. You don't have to listen to these things, right? But that's if you're already mentally at the level where you don't have to do these things. If you're already successful, yeah, you don't got to take a cold shower and nothing's going to change for you. If you're already successful, you have $100 million business like Alex Hormozi does. Yeah, you don't need to have a morning routine. He says, I wake up and I drink coffee and get to work. Imagine if I told all my members and my friends that are my age, wake up, drink coffee and get to work. They're going to wake up, drink coffee and go on their phone because they haven't built the discipline yet. They haven't built the habits yet. They can't.
Habits. Habits, and it takes a while. Dude, I was the biggest fuck up. I didn't know personal development, business development. My mom never read my books, never looked at a podcast, never heard a podcast, never heard me speak because she's not into it. And that's fine. Most people aren't. But you can't just wake up great. Yeah. It's like you and your partner didn't wake up successful.
Oh no.
It's like working out at the gym. If you and I never worked out and we're 50, 60 pounds overweight, the problem with people is they want the results. You know, you just don't show up and go, hey, I'm gonna run a marathon. Never running and saying I'm gonna do 26.2 miles.
Exactly.
That sucks. It's the same thing being an entrepreneur. You know, people say you and Jackie, you guys were so lucky, man. They didn't understand the effort, the mental fortitude that you guys had, the sleepless nights, the nights that you're like, oh shit, are we going to make it? It's a gradual thing. Habits. And it's you would agree with this, not the 21 days create a habit, because I can wake up at 3 a.m. for 21 days. And on that 22nd day, I'll sleep in. That's just something you saw on the poster. You just have to continuously do it. Everybody's mind's different. And Dr. Joe D, man, think about that. A man gets run over by riding his bike, doing a triathlon, and they said he could never walk again. That shows you, and you showing it, the mind. One's mind is the most powerful thing. And I tell people all the time, a buddy texted me that the doctor said he had 10 years to live. I'm like, that's the diagnosis. This, your mind is what's going to create the prognosis. The reason why you're only going to live 10 years is because you believe it.
Yep. You know?
The reason why people outlive whatever is because they're like, bullshit.
Yep.
I'm going to prove you wrong. And that's the mindset. Dude,
exactly.
You see, you're talking about the shit, you know, that you had to go through, but you had to go through that because God, the universe, everything, it's to appreciate the process.
Yep. Yep.
You still remember having to live in your parents' living room.
Oh, it wasn't just living there. It was worse. So when I was living there, back to the story when I was there, like, what was I going to do to change? So I know we're running out of time soon. So basically what really like changed everything was I knew a guy that went to my local gym that had a Lamborghini, like, you know, typical, people call them a guru, typical what you would say is a guru. He had a Lamborghini, he had a house on the hill. He was 23 years old, big YouTube channel. People would call him and everybody else like him a guru. What was he really? Someone who fucking made it happen. He, you know, if you don't have those things, then you might also look at all successful people and say, oh, it's because he's this or he's that. Or no, he did it. He did it out of nowhere. So this guy had it and he was 23. And I was like, no matter what happens, I want to do exactly what he did. So that was my first interest and let me get back into online sales. But I had no idea how Amazon FBA works. So all the money I had left from my past dealings and this and that, I had exactly about $7,000 left. That was my total amount of, that was my net worth, was 7K in total with a total car and nothing else in my life. And this guy posted an Instagram story that, hey, I'm taking six more people to one-on-one single-handedly teach you how to build an Amazon business and potentially, you know, become successful like I am. I replied, I said, I want to be one of those people. He got on the call with me and he said, it costs $10,000 just for the mentorship, not business startup costs, not inventory, just for me to teach you. It costs 10K. And you need to tell me right now on the phone, yes or no, because I have 600 people to talk to. And I had 7K. That's all the money I had. And I told him, I'll wire you the money today. That's literally what started it. I called my friend, one of my good partners that started Amazon with me. I told him the situation and I said, I need 3K, send it to my bank. I'm going to pay this guy. We're going to do Amazon. And he did. He sent me the 3K. We put that together and I hired him for Amazon FBA mentorship. And it sounds like that was the start of, you know, the good times, but it got even more, a little bit more worse because now I had no money left. And he's teaching me Amazon, but telling me now you need to make money to start your inventory purchase. You have to buy products. What are you going to sell, Sal? So I needed about $3,000 to $4,000 and I'm back in the same spot. I have no money. I have no job. I got fired. My resume is shit. How am I going to make $3,000 to $4,000? And I realized I could drive for Uber or DoorDash. So I looked up Uber online and they were giving out cars where you could rent the car from Uber to drive for Uber. And that's what I did. I ended up going through the little application. They gave me a car to rent from them for $800 a month. So I could use that car to drive for them to make, I don't know, I made like $1,200 a month. So that's what I did. That's what took me from in debt, $0 to my name, you know, completely broken to how am I going to make money to start Amazon? I drove for Uber and my dad gave me, you know, those like, my pillows and those like new pillows that are coming out that are like, I don't know, memory foam and all that stuff. So that's when that was becoming a little big. And my dad had some big warehouses full of these pillows. He filled up the family car with the pillows and had me go to the swap meet at 25 years old to sell the pillows to make $4 profit on each. And every weekend I would go to the swap meet and sell pillows. Monday through Friday, I would drive for Uber. I did that for 2 to 3 months to save up money to start my business. And that's how I started Amazon FBA.
Hey, that whatever it takes. How long did it take though? From the mentorship, you had your inventory, you started selling to become profitable.
So it took in total about 5 to 6 months. It took about 3 months to learn the process and start my first brand. So you have to learn how it all works, obviously. And then you have to purchase the stuff. It takes about, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks for these companies in China to make your product. And then they take about 3 to 4 weeks to ship it. So that took about 2 months. Learning the whole thing took about a month and a half. So about 3.5 months, I would say my fourth month of, you know, from the date I paid the guy, on my fourth month, I was able to launch my first product with the money I had from selling pillows and Uber. So we did that. And I'm expecting like my life to completely change. I'm now selling on Amazon and I learned from one of the biggest guys in the space. So I was expecting to make a ton of money. My first month, we made $1,000 in revenue, not even profit. We did $1,000 in revenue. And I remember I was at his house and we were checking my sales and he started clapping for me. And he's like, Sal, congrats, you did your first 1,000 on Amazon. And in my head, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I paid you 10K. I drove for Uber for 3 months and saved up money and spent another 4K on inventory. I'm negative 14K right now. And I learned from the best guy on Amazon. And I just made 1,000 in sales. Profit was like what? Like 30%. So like $300. So I'm like, dude, $300. Like I completely just fucked everything up. But I didn't quit. I knew, and he told me, it takes time to succeed on Amazon. You can't just launch one product and expect to have the Lambo in the house. And I did, you know, I was dumb. I did have those big aspirations of as soon as I get there, as soon as I launch, I'm successful. It didn't happen. I launched my second product. I also borrowed some more money, launched my second product. And fast forward to our third month on Amazon, we did 25K in sales. My third month being active on Amazon, we did 25K in sales, and that was at about 34% profit at that time. So that's what really kicked it off.
Fast forward, you're a successful person. What made you say, hey, let me be in service, let me help teach others how to be successful as a side hustle or their main hustle, selling on Amazon?
At first, I had no intentions to teach or, you know, become a mentor or anything, but I did feel amazing to show what I had done because I felt so down and so low, especially embarrassed to my family and my sisters and my mom that I completely failed at life. So when I started making more money than everybody that I knew, I felt like a great sense of pride. Like I somehow made it happen. So I was posting my results and I also moved out of my parents' house. I actually moved out pretty quick. The third month when we made that 25K, that's when I realized like, this is going to be consistent now because this wasn't like a get rich quick scheme. Like I have my own company now. I own my own brand. It's going to keep coming in like this every month. So I moved out to one of the nicest apartments that I always wanted to live in. I moved out there. I was posting that. I was posting my sales. At the month after that, we did like 35K. I posted those numbers and basically everyone that knew me was looking at that and they're like, how did you do it? And I started to just help close friends. So I would have people come to my apartment and I would just help like people that I knew in person. And they started selling on Amazon. They started telling their friends. I started YouTube. And the main goal at first, like I said, was just to kind of share how I did it. I had no intentions to like actually become a coach online or anything like that. But I made the YouTube videos just to kind of share info. So I don't have to teach each person individually. I could just say, hey, go watch this YouTube video. And I made it just for someone like you. You're going to learn how it works. So that kind of took off and I met Jackie. And Jackie was one of those people that was just now starting to sell on Amazon, but she wanted to know how can she go from like a side hustle to like my main income is Amazon. She saw one of those YouTube videos that I was being interviewed on. And she added me on Instagram. So we basically connected and the main goal was for me to help her with Amazon. And when I helped her, she did so well with that product that I helped her with. And we posted her results and she made a little TikTok video just for fun, just a TikTok, just to say, hey, I went from like her stories, you know, similar to mine, but how she went from this girl who was broke to making that much money on Amazon. That TikTok got 3 million views overnight in like 12 hours.
Dang.
So yeah, we woke up with 3 million views and her DMs were bombarded. We couldn't even reply to everyone asking, how did you do it? How'd you do it? And that really kicked off why we decided to coach. It was like, hey, 3 million people saw the video. Imagine you post a video every day now. And all these people are eager to learn and there are people like us who they want to figure out how to do this thing. So that's why we started coaching.
Now, okay, I hire you or I take your program. How much does it cost? Like for a startup, like the whole nine yards, like an average person like me, I might be great at marketing. I might be great at things, but when it comes to Amazon, when it comes to dropshipping, I know jack shit.
Yeah, that's exactly what we made the program for. It's for people who know jack shit, complete beginners. You've never done anything online. So we decided to make our program very cost friendly compared to the market. There's a lot of coaches that charge quite a bit of money. Our program is only $1,000. And when some people hear that and they're like, oh my God, $1,000. And my answer is always, hey, I paid $10,000 to learn. Jackie actually paid $5,000 to learn. And if you go try to figure it out on Google, you're going to find courses that cost $5,000 to $10,000. Our program's only $1,000 and we teach you everything because we know you're going to need money for inventory. And we tailored our program for people, you know, in their 20s. People in their 20s, most people don't have 20, 30K in the bank. They barely have enough, those few thousand dollars to really figure out what to do and get started. So our program costs $1,000. You're going to need about $3,000 to $4,000 for your actual business costs, which is why we priced it so low. So you're going to need $3,000 to $4,000 for your inventory, for shipping, for branding, for all these things that are going to add up, about $3,000 to $4,000. The program costs $1,000. I would say $5,000 is a good place for someone to start Amazon FBA as a complete beginner and be able to afford everything. If you have more, you can make even more money, of course, because the more money you have, just better products you can purchase. But $5,000 would be a good starting point.
Okay. Now, a guy like me, a guy like my audience, we're all hungry. We all want a side hustle. Can we monetize it? I know all results fluctuate, vary, but is there a way after a while to actually, besides you, have a great living at doing this, like your main hustle?
Yeah, I'm very happy that the last few months we've had the most success that we've had with our members. We had a member who started working with us in August of 22. So in August, she started. She only enrolled into our main program, the course, the $1,000 program. She enrolled in August at the end of it. In December, which was exactly 3 months later, she launched her product, and in her first 30 days, she did $40,000 in revenue with one product. It was her first time ever selling on Amazon. I have a whole video testimonial. We interviewed her of how she did it, and she surprisingly had the least amount of help. She barely asked us for anything. She said the course had everything I needed. I never had to actually get on a call with her. I never had to explain anything in depth. She just kind of went through the course, watched the videos as we made them, figured it out through our program, launched her product and did $40,000, sold out completely, ordered like 2-3 times the amount of inventory. Now, consistently, she should be doing at least $30,000 to $40,000 a month unless she runs out of inventory. And that's with one product. And her profit margin, if you're listening and you're wondering, the big thing people are always asking is, what about the Amazon fees? And what about the shipping costs? And what about this? And what about that? And you know, there's all these costs that come into it, just like every other business in the world. There are business expenses.
Of course, man.
But after everything, she's at a 44% profit margin. And I'm using her because it was like, people want to know, did anybody do as well as us? She did beyond what I did. Remember, I did 1,000 my first month. She did 40,000 at a 44% profit margin in her first month. So can somebody do this today, make a living off of it? That's one person. We had several ladies like her. By the way, these are like moms. These are like people who have kids and families and careers. She specifically wasn't a mom, but she has a husband, a career. You know, it's not like somebody in college who has all the time in the world. These are people who are working, and that's how much success she was able to have with one product.
So we can do 10K a month in sales.
10K is the minimum we aim for every single member, to do 10K in sales. That's like we want you to do at least 10,000 in your first month with revenue.
Damn straight, man. That's the American dream. Yeah. Believe it or not, that's more than the average American makes. After, you know, the net 10, you're close to $5,000 a month, 60K a year, while the average American makes about like 44, 45K.
Yeah, I just posted this on Instagram. My actual personal sales for December were, and I had a screenshot with the dates and everything, was about $500,000 in sales at, let's say it was just a 30% profit margin. That's more than an average American would make in an entire, probably in 2 years, 3 years. 3 years of an average American's salary I made in 1 month of December, selling on Amazon while I was traveling, while I was working from my laptop and never had to deal with anybody, no boss, nothing from my laptop. But The thing is, people don't ask these questions when it comes to college. How much am I going to make? What's the risk? How much does it cost? They just go take out a $50,000 loan and, you know, it's good. But when it comes to Amazon or any other business online, oh my God, what's the risk? How much does it cost? How much am I going to, you know, what are the expenses? What is this? These things are going to happen in any business that you get into. You just have to just focus on one business and find somebody that actually is successful at it and you'll do well.
Brother, the greater the risk, the higher the reward. To me, the biggest risk is working in corporate America. An entrepreneur, baby, one, you know, American dream, capitalism. You open up my eyes, my audience as well. How do we find you on Instagram, on everything? How do we sign up for your course so we can start with a side hustle, make it our main hustle, and live the American dream by having multiple flows of income?
That's a great way to say it. The way me and Jackie tell everybody, we don't want anyone to get into this just based off of excitement. We don't want anyone to jump into this just because they saw my sales or my lifestyle or anything. So number one, before we have anybody even buy it, we do have a like free training that we set up where it specifically is for people who don't know how it all works, where we break down everything. So that would be the first step, is watching the free training. It's about an hour long and it'll explain to you how this works, how much you're going to need, you know, where we buy products, what we do, the whole entire business model. It's completely broken down for you from A through Z. So you first see how it all works and what it's going to take from you. And then if you decide, okay, that I can do that, then you can actually go ahead and inquire about signing up for the program. So we know that you're fully aware of how it works. So on Instagram, it's the best way. My Instagram is Sal_Habibi. That's Sal_Habibi. Sal_Habibi. Anyone that's listening can send me a message and I'll shoot you the free training. We do them live often. So for example, next week we're doing it live where you can actually come ask us questions. Like, type in any questions you have a screen share, show you anything you want to see. Our main goal is to make sure you're fully aware of how it works. And then if you're like, okay, that is what I want to do, you can jump into it.
Sounds good, brother. You know what? It doesn't matter how you start. Remember that, bro. You talked about your failures. Your failures didn't define you, man. It was just a process, A, B, C, D. And it makes you appreciate that you'll never forget falling down. You'll never forget, you know, being at rock bottom. And now not only are you making a living, making your dreams happen, you're helping other people create their lives and create their dreams.
Yep. I do have a question for you.
Sure.
So you're in the space, you know, you're interviewing different entrepreneurs and things like this. And you and I both probably come across tons of people who just can't seem to break free, just cannot seem to, you know, have that moment where they break free and they become successful or reach their goals. What would you say is one of the top reasons that a majority of people today, they are not only not reaching their goals, they're not happy with life, they're not successful, and in their own definition of a goal, they're not attaining it? Why do you think so?
They don't believe in themselves. They quit dreaming if they ever had a dream. They feel like it's luck. They feel it's not for them. That, and they're happy being safe, happy being comfortable, happy with the 2 weeks off, happy believing that they're going to inherit money or that their boss is actually giving a shit about them, when actually the boss, the shareholders, and all that, they're only making their own dreams and their own lives happen.
I agree. That's the one question I usually ask. I've met some like really successful 10-figure entrepreneurs and I asked them the same question because I was honestly generally just very curious when I first started coaching and I had a lot of different people come into my life to inquire, not only for Amazon, but for personal development. And a lot of people would just kind of inquire and then I would see them, they wouldn't actually start. And then I would see them a year later in the same place, but they had these big goals they told me about and they wanted to do all these things with their life. And I'm like, why does a majority of people fail and not even actually attempt to get started? And my answer to that now would be, it's mostly just due to focus. There are so many shiny business ideas on social media, especially now, right? Crypto, NFTs, all this stuff came out. It crashed, whatever. Amazon FBA, wholesale. Now you're going to see ads for YouTube automation and all these different things. And here's the thing, if you're listening to this and you're actually someone who wants to start a business, here's the thing that's 100% true. Every single thing that you see online, all those business models work. They all work. YouTube automation works. Amazon FBA works. Crypto, can't really say it works necessarily, but people make money in crypto, right? People can become successful in every single thing that you're seeing online. The problem is most people are trying to get into all of them at the same time. Their friend said, invest into Bitcoin. Their other friend started wholesale Amazon. Their other friend bought an NFT for one ETH and they're going to flip it for seven. And you're trying to, you know, dig into all these different things and you're just becoming average in all of them. When every successful person that I know, and I'm sure you know, they're experts at one thing. They became the best at one thing and then they diversified their income. And
that's the way to do it, brother. That's the way to do it. Narrow focus. Focus on one thing. That's why I said your side hustle. And yet, let's make this a main hustle or whatnot. Always have multiple flows of income. What happens is people quit. You know, when they have, they get a different source of income. Why not just have multiple streams? That's the way to do it. Yeah. Brother, thank you, man. Thank you for your time. Thank you. Thank you for waking us up. Any parting last words that you want to tell somebody that's sitting on their dreams, sitting on the sidelines?
Yeah, to sum it up, as you, if you were listening the whole time, I'm somebody who was addicted to drugs, selling drugs, college dropout, failed every single job that I ever had. I also got kicked out of the United States Air Force. I forgot to mention that. All that shit happened to me, and I was able to come out from that and become a successful entrepreneur that cleaned up my life. And that was in a matter of 3 years. So no matter what you're going through, what you're struggling with, whatever you're feeling, you're not good enough, this or that, it's all bullshit. You can definitely do it. Just pick one thing and focus on it. Become really good at it. And I promise you, it will work out.
Amen, brother. Thank you for your time. Thank you for everything, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. What if it did work? What if you took action and made it happen and started living inside of your purpose? What if it did work? Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine what if it did work.